Shalom, welcome to our second shiur on Shabbos Kodesh. This shiur we're going to be focusing on understanding how the transition between from weekday to Shabbos Kodesh is bringing us from a place of vayi erev, of darkness during the week, and confusion at times of the week into a clarity of Shabbos Kodesh. We know that by the first 6 days of creation, so the Torah uses the lashon of vayi erev, vayi boker. There was night, there was day. And that was the first day. There was night, there was day, the second day. But when it comes to Shabbos Kodesh, it doesn't say Vayer Vayboker. And to explain, because the reason is on Shabbos Kodesh, it's kulo light. It's all light. There is no darkness of Shabbos. Now, although there are aspects of darkness as well as light during the week, chol, the 6 days of the week, are often associated with darkness. Just like we spoke about last year, how this world is compared to the week, and the next world is compared to Shabbos Kodesh, so too, in this world, it's a place of darkness. Olam from the word of He'elim, where Ribbono Shel Olam is hidden in this world, like in a dark room where the items are hidden from you. The contents of the room are hidden from you. Next world is a place of clarity. It's a place of simplicity, where we could see things the way they are. And that's connected to Shabbos, and as well it's connected to Boker. Boker from Lashon of Bikur, of investigating. It's easier for us to investigate in the morning when we could see exactly what is in front of us. That's compared to Shabbos, because in Shabbos we're supposed to be getting to the point where hopefully it's a little bit clear what our tachlis, what our purpose is in this world. Which might sound like a lot, but in the end of the day, that's a big aspect of Shabbos. Shabbos is reminding us and resetting us and refocusing us on why are we in this world? What are we supposed to be accomplishing in this world? Why did Hashem make this world? And every week we have an opportunity to refresh that within ourselves, and that clarity should last us throughout the week in order so we don't find ourselves sinking in the stormy waters of this world. So let's start from the beginning. Adam Rishon is cursed. B'zeich apecha tocha lechem. As a result of Adam and Chava sinning, Adam's curse was, so from your hard work, that's how you will gain food, that's how you will gain parnasa. It's going to come as a result of your hard work. Whereas in Gan Eden, we know that there's an idea from Chazal that full bread would grow on the tree. It wasn't that wheat would grow from the ground, but bread would grow from a tree. Imagine walking in Gan Eden and a person would just pull a breadstick off a tree, pull a challah off a tree. Whatever a person wanted was already prepared for them. But from the time of Adam and Chava's sin, after Shabbos Kodesh, it became that a person would have to work in order to receive proper sustenance in this world. What I want to do in this shiur today is to try and look at this in a deeper way and understand that it's not just the fact that, oh, now we have to go to work and we need to work for things that we want, that was the curse that Adam Rishon faced. It's actually much deeper than that. Gemara says in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Chet, that Kashin Mizonosov Shel Adam Kikriyas Yamsuf, that a person's parnasa is as difficult as splitting a sea. And there's many different ways to understand this. I think the pshat is that it's difficult to make a parnasa in this world. And I want to try and understand this in a little bit of a deeper way. Maybe the Gemara is more saying like this: Kashim mizonosov shel adam kikriyas yamsuf. It's hard to make the mizonosov, the work and the effort that a person puts in to get their food, like kriyas yamsuf. What does that mean to make it like kriyas yamsuf? It means like this: kriyas yamsuf. It was very clear that the Ribbono Shel Olam was the one splitting the sea, as much as Nachshon ran in and Moshe raised the staff. At the end of the day, it was a very clear nes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's difficult for us to recognize in our lives that as much work as we put into work, as much as it seems like our parnasa is coming from one place or another, our job is to recognize that it's really all coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam, regardless of our efforts. And of course, we know that Hashem expects us to put an effort in this world. This is the curse of Adam. We have to do our ishtadlus. But at the same time, we have to constantly remind ourselves that it's not as a result of our hishtadlus or that our own effort or our own talent that we're blessed to have the parnasa that we have. And it's difficult because there's such a gaiva, there's such a haughtiness, and there's such a normal taiva to feel like I have the money that I have, the parnasa that I have the food that I have as a result of my hard work. And there's many different levels that we can accept this teaching. For some people, it's uncomfortable to accept the fact that no, everything comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's all, even my efforts come from Hashem. And so everything on its own level, right? Maybe the first level is understanding that the very fact that we're in the situation in which we're in, to obtain the parnasa that we're in, is only as a result of Hashkacha Pratis, of the Ribbono Shel Olam putting us in our background, with our family, with our upbringing, with our opportunities, with our level of livelihood as a result of all those things. So now the position which we find ourselves in, yes, we can succeed, but it's only a result of Hashem putting us in that situation, in this family. A person could be in Africa, schlepping water in their on their head for miles, and making no money, barely any money for the entire week, but that's their job, and they're putting in a lot more effort and physical toil than a person might be when they're sitting in an office. That's one level. I think that's a lower level, but that itself is a level of understanding that all the opportunities God gave me are a tremendous blessing. And it's like Kriyas Yamsev, because who said that I was supposed to be in this situation and not born into a different situation? I think that's a lower level, but I think that's still a very important level. I think a higher level is understanding even more so that even if I find myself in this family that the Rabbanu Shalom placed me in, and which is a tremendous blessing, it's not just something of the past, that Hashem gave me a blessing that I gave you these skills and I gave you these talents and I put you in this situation with this family, born in this country and born in this background, that therefore you can make the money that you make. And that's why we shouldn't have real gaiva. We shouldn't think that it's all from us, because Hashem put us in this situation. That's for sure one level, but I think the deeper level is even on top of that, which is every single effort which I have the opportunity to put in, every second Hashem is giving me life and giving me the opportunity to put that in. Every day when I'm able to get up and go to work, every second that I'm in work, every great idea I have that comes into my mind, it's all as a result of the Rabbanu Shalom blessing me with it. It's not a result of my own skill, something that I've developed. Of course, I have to put in work to show Hashem that I appreciate the gifts He's given me. But even the actualizing the potential I have as a great businessman, or as a great painter, or writer, or athlete, whatever it is constantly being given to me from Hashem. And without Hashem's gift, constant gift, I wouldn't have anything. I would not have anything. Just to clarify, I think the difference between the two levels are that one is something in the past. Hashem gave me all the raw materials to work with. Now it's my job to build myself, build my opportunities, build up my parnasa, build up my success in this world. And I think the second level, which is even, like I've mentioned, a higher level, I think, which is that, yes, Hashem gave me everything that I needed to succeed, but He's constantly granting me the ability to actualize the potential in which He's granted me. It's not just something that in the past. It's right now. When I'm succeeding right now, I recognize that Hashem is playing an integral part in that success. And again, obviously the Rabbanu Shalom wants us to make use of all the abilities and talents and skills that He's given us. It's not an aspect of humility to deny the fact that we're talented in certain aspects of life. But what is humility, in my understanding of it at least, is that we recognize that the Rabbanu Shalom not only gave us the ability to succeed in a certain area, but that He constantly gives us success in that area when we see success. These ideas are extremely interconnected and intertwined with Shabbos Kodesh itself. Mesillas Yesharim writes in the 21st Perek that it's true that our Parnassa is decreed from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur already, but as a result of the sin of B'zeis HaPechol Tochol Lechem, we have to put in our own effort. But the Mesillas Yesharim writes, Ach lo sheishtalus hu amoil. It's not the work that benefits us. Ela sheishtalus mukhrach. But the work is, it's a requirement. It's something we have to do. V'kevan sheishtadel har yotzei dechovah. So once we start working, we fulfill our obligation of this curse that we have to work. V'kvar yishmakum lebracha shamayim shetishra alav ve'inu tzorech lebalos yomav becharitzus v'shtadlus. And then we shouldn't get confused and just spend all of our days working towards money, but we have to realize, like, we've done our part. So if that's the case, the question becomes, what's the curse? Is the curse just that we now have to work for things that we want? That we need to spend most of our day working instead of, at least for a lot of people, spending most of the day working instead of being involved in Avodas HaKodesh? Is that the ultimate aspect of the curse? I think it's something much deeper than this. I think if I would narrow this whole shear down to one or two lines, it would be this. The curse of Adam HaRishon was not that now we have to work for food. The curse of Adam HaRishon is now, as a result of us working for food, we forget where our food comes from. We think that because I'm putting in the effort, it's me, the food is coming from me. It's my own work, it's my own talents, it's my own ability that's providing for my parnasa. That's the greatest curse that Adam HaRishon faced. It's a confusion, it's a bilbul that now, you're going to have to work for something, and you're going to get so involved in the work that you're going to forget, where's the source? Where is this all coming from? Where is all the blessing in our life being sent to us from? Rav Biederman had a beautiful idea on this. Rav Biederman was quoting Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, and he said the following thing. He said that the Ramban says that when Avram Avinu left Eretz Yisrael, okay, he gets to Eretz Yisrael, he leaves everything behind, and now there's a famine in the land, okay? And he leaves Eretz Yisrael because there's a famine. He goes down to Mitzrayim. So the Ramban says there that was a mistake in Avram's part. He should have had more munah in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he shouldn't have left. He should have stayed in Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem would have taken care of him. Come on, it's Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is going to leave everything behind. He's going to come to Eretz Yisrael. He's going to starve. And of course, Hashem is going to take care of him. So the Ramban says that was a mistake on Avram's part. But Rav Chatzkel Levenstein said something very, very beautiful. He says maybe there's another way of understanding this, which is that Avram knew that if he stayed in Eretz Yisrael, of course the Ribbono Shel Olam was going to take care of him. It's Avram Avinu. Of course, he had that level of emunah. But maybe it's something a little bit deeper. Maybe he said, if I go down to Mitzrayim and I put in my own effort, it's very easy for it to become, why do I have food right now? Because I went down to Mitzrayim, I put in my effort, I went to a place where there's food, and now I got food. So as a result of my travel and my work and my effort, that I now have food. And Avram Avinu was saying, if I could have a Muna, even in that circumstance, which I applied my own efforts to realize that even in Mitzrayim, my food and my blessing and my parnasa comes from Hashem. So then that's a higher level of emunah than just sitting back and saying, yeah, I'm going to wait for Hashem to send blessing to me. Because if we just wait for Hashem to send blessing, if Avram just waited for Hashem to send blessing, no, of course Hashem would have sent blessing. But it wouldn't have been confusing. It was so clear that it was coming from Hashem. There would have been no other source of the parnasa he could have confused it with. There was no difficulty reminding oneself that, yeah, of course it came from Hashem. I'm sitting in Eretz Yisrael, I have no food, no one has food, I have food, all of a sudden, of course it's Hashem. That's not really such a test of emunah. But really what's a deeper test in some ways is that I'm going to go and put in my own effort, and it looks like then that it's a result of my work. It's very easy to lose emunah then and think that, no, it's because of me. It's because of me that I'm being successful. It's because of me that I have food. That's the curse of Adam Arishon. The curse of Adam Arishon is not just that you're going to have to work, but as a result of the work and effort you put in, you're then going to forget that it's all coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's going to be disguised. We're going to have to constantly remind ourselves that even though it looks like we're the ones bringing all blessing to our life, no, it's only as a direct result of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why the Gemara says, I think, Kashim Mizonosav Shal Adam Ki Kriyas Yamsu. It's very difficult to make the Mizonos, the Parnasa, the blessing, the money of a person into the same, view it as the same way as we viewed Kriyas Yamsuf, that it needs to be the Ribbono Shel Olam, because we're putting in our own effort. This is all Mamish Domei LaShabbos Kodesh. As we discussed previously, very briefly, Shabbos is called Makor HaBracha. Shabbos is called the source of all blessing. But isn't that a crazy concept? That the one day we don't work is called the source of all blessing, physical blessing as well. Shabbos is the source of all blessing, meaning any money, any health, any whatever it is, any physical blessing we get in our lives is a result of Shabbos Kodesh. Any spiritual blessing we have in our lives that we're receiving from Hashem is as a result of Shabbos Kodesh. Isn't it crazy to think that the one day in which we're not working, we're saying, this is the source of all blessing in my life? What do you mean this is the source of all blessing? This is the one day you're not working. How could you say that's why you're so successful? It seems like such a paradox. While I'm not working, that's why I'm successful in business? While I'm not working on exercising, that's why I'm receiving health from Hashem at this moment? Because I'm not working this one day a week? I'm not working out this one day a week? But I think that's the whole point. I think the whole point is to take a break and show it's not kochi v'otzim yadi, it's not my hand, it's not a result of my work that everything is flourishing in my life, because I'm going to take a step back for a day. And I'm not going to control, I'm not going to create, I'm just going to let everything rest. I'm going to let everything Put it on the back burner for now. And if Motzei Shabbos comes around and I'm still receiving blessing in my life, so then you know what? It must be it's the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because I did not work on anything I wasn't supposed to work on Shabbos Kodesh. That infuses into the next 6 days that although those next 6 days, yes, I have to go into work. I have to take care of myself. I have to work physically and spiritually to continue growing and succeeding. But it infuses the understanding that, wait a minute, even those days in which I'm working, it's clearly not as a result of my own work alone that I'm succeeding. The Ribbono Shel Olam is constantly sending me blessing and success. That's what's making me successful, even during the days which I'm working. That's Avram Avinu going down to Mitzrayim. The 6 days of the week are Avram Avinu going down to Mitzrayim. It's us putting in our hishtadlus, putting in our efforts, but not forgetting for a second that the success and the ability to put in those efforts come directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam. This fits in beautifully with a piece from Rabbi Nachman, Torah Yud Gimel in Likutei Maran, where Rabbi Nachman says, "Laham shich hashkacha shlema yivshar ela ad shishaber tayavos mamon." That in order for a person to really feel the Ribbono Shel Olam in our lives, it's not like, of course, Hashem melokol aretz kevodo, Hashem fills the entire universe. But the question is, do we want to feel that presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Do we want to allow it to become more revealed in our lives? If we wanted to, we need to make a space for it. Like we discussed last week, preparation is making a space for the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's making a space for blessing in our life. It's creating the vessels. So if we want to feel the Ribbono Shel Olam in a very large way, and we want to feel he's constantly interceding in our behalf, and he's intervening on our behalf, and he's constantly involved in our lives, EF Shar, it's impossible to feel that and to bring that reality into the world where Hashem is affecting our lives in such a detailed, oriented way. Ela ad sheyishaber tayavos mamon. Until we break our desire for mamon. So what does that mean, our desire for money? How do we break our desire for money? Like, let's be real for a second. We need to have money for, come on, everything in this world. We as people of flesh and blood, we need money. And that's just the way this world works. So what does that mean? I think what it means is that there's a difference between having a taiva for mamon, and there's a difference between understanding that we require money and that it's an important aspect of life. A taiva is something which we know that once you feed it, it gets stronger, right? Any taiva which a person has, whether it's for a physical item, whether it's for a physical pleasure, whether it's for something like honor, when a person feeds into that desire, the desire only gets stronger. Maybe it will subside for a short amount of time, but in the end of the day, it ends up coming back stronger. Which means that the issue here is the desire for money. Right? Desire, once a person really gets caught up in a desire, it could overtake their whole life. It could overtake their mind. Everywhere they look, they're looking through the lenses of this desire, of how they could fulfill this desire. And if they do fulfill desire, the desire only gets stronger. And it's a very difficult path to be caught on. So Rabbi Nachman's saying, if a person wants to really have hashkacha, like hashkacha pratis, in a really shalom way, you want to feel the Ribbono Shel Olam in your life, it's only going to be as much as we're meshaber, we get rid of this desire for money. Because the desire for money makes us feel, the more we work towards it, that we're the ones accomplishing, and we're the ones responsible for increasing the parnasa in our lives, the money in our lives, the blessing, financial blessings, or the physical blessings in our lives. And that is going to push away the Ribbono Shel Olam and his presence from our lives, because we're not allowing him in, we're taking all the credit for it. So Rabbi Nachman says one of the ways in which a person can be mishaber, and one of the ways in which they could break this taiva, is through giving tzedakah. Because tzedakah is obviously not acknowledging the fact that, Ribbono Shel Olam, this money that you gave me is yours, and just like you give it to me, it's my job to share with another person. And it's not mine to keep forever. It's, you're giving it to me as a loan. It's really your money. And because it's really your money, you could choose to distribute it how you want, and you tell us to give tzedakah, so I have to give tzedakah. It's not like even money that I'm losing. Right? That breaks down the taiva of money, the very strong desire for money, because it shows that I'm literally just willing to give it away. It's not the most important thing to me. That being said, obviously in a healthy way, right? Without having to go into that so much, obviously a person needs money to be able to be a normal, healthy person in this world. We require physical blessings. We require these things. But the issue isn't the amount, it's not how much wealth a person has or how hard they work for it necessarily, but it's not getting caught up in the desire of it and understanding that it all comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh is a time when we take a step back and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want your complete hashkacha in my life. I want to feel you in my life. I want to understand you're constantly impacting every aspect of my life. And one of the ways in which I do that is I'm mishaber my taiva for mamon. I completely neglect my desire for money on Shabbos by not only not working on Shabbos, but not even talking about work on Shabbos. And by living this way one day a week, what we do is we're able to infuse, Bezrat Hashem, mamish, the rest of the week with this mindset and understanding that everything that we're successful with is only as a result of blessings from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And thus, this brings us back towards the beginning of B'zeis HaPecha Toch HaLechem. Come full circle to understand that this difficulty that we go through during the week, this Erev, this darkness, Vayerev Vayboker, this darkness, there's a night and there's a confusion of during the week of where does our success come from. That's the curse of Adam HaRishon. And the antidote is Shabbos Kodesh. It's the clarity. There's no Vayerev. There's no nighttime by Shabbos. There's just clarity. We remind ourselves, where does everything in this world come from? And what are we working for? What are we putting in our efforts for? It's not for the taiva of mamon, but it's in order to be able to reach even a higher level of emunah and recognition that Hashem is what's bringing blessing to our life, even when it seems like it's our own actions and only as a result of ourselves. We recognize that it's the result of Hashem blessing us constantly and consistently throughout our lives. Thank you so much for joining, and we have the daven that Bezat Hashem, through learning this Torah again, this spiritually prepares us for Shabbos a little bit more. This helps us appreciate Shabbos a little bit more. And not only Shabbos, but it infuses our weekday with meaning. And that should cause like a spiral effect, that it causes Shabbos to have even more meaning for us. And Bezat Hashem, we should be zocha to metaking this avodah b'zeis HaPecha Toch HaLechem, to serve Hashem, to work hard and recognize that everything Hashem blesses us with in our everyday lives. Thank you so much for joining.